episode 1965, My Strength is My Story with Don Barton, Laughing Through the Ugly Cry.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at
a stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series. And we have with us Dawn Barton. She is a joyologist, and I promise you she is going to warm your heart, and you're going to be laughing through the ugly cry. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Dawn's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Well, I must say that Dawn and I had a wonderful time together. And I tell you what, she is full of joy. It just bubbles up from within her. She shares part of her journey with us, which really is just a peek into her life. She wrote her book, Laughing Through the Ugly Cry, and really her search for the unstoppable joy in unfathomable circumstances. She is a fighter. She is a warrior for joy. And what is so incredibly amazing to me is that how God orchestrated absolutely every step throughout her journey. I promise you, you're going to be laughing through the ugly cry. So without further ado, let's welcome in Dawn Barton. And you know what? You're going to find unstoppable joy. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a joyologist in the house today. Oh yeah, you're probably scratching your head going, who is this joyologist? Well, it's Dawn Barton. She is a wife of 16 years to her handsome pilot husband, Craig, and mother of three daughters and grandmother of four. Plus, she's the wrangler of two horses, four dogs, and three cats. I think she's a little busy and lots of love is happening in that household. Dawn enjoyed 30 years in sales and marketing, spending her last 10 of those years in direct sales. She was the number 7 sales director in Mary Kay when she took a leap of faith and left it all to write her first book, Laughing Through the Ugly Cry and Finding Unstoppable Joy. Dawn lights up the stage as a speaker and joyologist, encouraging women to find joy and humor in even the most difficult of circumstances. Get ready to laugh and find your joy in your everyday. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love hearing that read. I'm like, wow, I sound cool.
You are pretty cool.
They make it sound better in those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, when it's all about you, it's different when you get things read back at you and you're like, really? That's me? Well, that is you.
I know. And it does. It does. I'm like, that is awesome. Yeah.
I can't wait to meet this girl. Well, we're going to get to know you today, and I cannot wait to get to know you. But coming from a joyologist's point of view, what brings you joy in your everyday?
It depends on the day, right? And now that we're in the throes of a pandemic, what brings me joy is to be alone. But had you asked me prior to this, I would tell you to be with my family. No, I am teasing it. My family, number one, brings me joy. Of course, I would say my faith. But my family is a big part of my joy. It is, we live in a home with our 13-year-old daughter. We have a daughter who's 30, and she has since, you know, married, moved away. They have four kids. And my mother-in-law lives in this house, and my parents live in the guest house next door. So when I love this crazy situation that we have. I just love it. It brings me a lot of joy.
Well, I can tell because you're still smiling. And so
I am.
You haven't killed each other yet.
Not yet.
That's good. Well, what was it like for little Dawn growing up?
Oh, I have a fantastic growing up story. I was, my father was in the oil business, and he, you know, originally worked offshore on rigs and then became in a managerial role. And I lived all over the world. So I lived in different countries. The longest I ever lived somewhere was 3 years in England, Scotland, Iran, Norway, all over the place. So my youth was in the summers. We came back to the United States, to Louisiana, which is where I was born. And for a month at Christmas. And the rest of the time was in a different country throughout the world. It was fantastic.
Oh my goodness. Talk about traveling. You don't need to worry about Corona or COVID-19 because you've already traveled the world.
Yeah, I really, it was one of the greatest things that it did is it gave me this ability, which I think paid off in the world of sales and marketing, this ability to meet people easily, make friends easily, adapt easily. It gave me a lot of gifts that I didn't know it was giving me. So I loved it. I loved it.
Truly a blessing. And even though you kind of want to be alone now, you still have that extrovert in you that says, I want to be around people too.
I think I'm what they call an ambivert. So it's somebody who, if you were to meet me, you'd think I was an extrovert, but I do recharge alone. So that's why I said that alone time is because right now, very few of us, we're not really getting it. So I'm trying to be very on purpose about getting that alone time really early in the morning. It's filling my cup up before you go out the rest of the day and start, you know, dishing out of that cup.
Well, what does it look like for Joyologist Dawn for her every day? What is your, you know, because you're a mom, you're a grandma. I mean, you're also a daughter, an auntie, you know, the list goes on.
Oh, gosh. I when people ask these kind of questions, I want to give this, well, this is what I do. I have my coffee and spiritual time and then I work out. It's nothing like that. I don't have this perfect, you know, right now it's homeschooling and Ella, get up, get up. I want to give this perfect answer, but I think that more of us are the hot mess that I am than more of us are the perfectly regimented adult or mother or all of those things. I think if I were to look at myself and feel like I'd failed in some ways, sometimes it would be that. We have horses to feed. We have somebody to do homeschooling. We have my mother-in-law to make sure she's taken care of. So it's kind of making sure everybody's taken care of. I try to do my work really early in the morning, mostly because that's when my brain is the most in tune. I'm a very naturally happy person, but I'm also very on purpose about working towards that. So I try to keep us all in this place of joy, which is, I really do.
Well, that's awesome. And you get that in your book when you read it. I had the privilege of getting an advanced copy. And I promise you all, you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Laughing Through the Ugly Cry and Finding Unstoppable Joy. Because in what she pins to paper, you will find that and you'll look at your circumstances a lot differently. Well, in your first chapter, you titled it Catholic Light, L-I-T-E. What was your faith journey like as a child?
Well, I was Catholic light. I was somebody, we lived all over the world, as you know, and some places we went to church, some places we didn't. Places like Iran and different countries, we didn't attend church. So my we went to church off and on, but we didn't have a strong religious home life. And I believed in God just because when we said the blessing at dinner, it was, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I was like, okay, there's three things I'm supposed to, you know, okay, got it. Love, 1, 2, 3, got it. But it wasn't, I didn't know that we could have a relationship. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know those things, but I had a very happy childhood and definitely a belief in God. But as far as a deep dive into understanding a beautiful relationship, I didn't have that.
At what point then in your life did God meet you?
Well, in my early 20s, I was married and lost our daughter, Madison, died of a rare bacteria of pneumonia. And in that, she was in ICU for 8 days. And in that, you know, that's a on your knees, crying a cry, terribly hard for a God to perform a miracle. Like, please save her, please save her, please save her. And then when he doesn't, or he didn't for me, I broke up with God. I just said, I am not going to love a God that takes babies from mommies. I will not. I will not. And then 6 months after that, someone broke in my home and I was raped and it went to a full jury trial. So my faith was rocked. I say I broke up with God, but he definitely didn't break up with me. And I tried to struggle through that journey through a lot of counseling. It was just not pretty to go through it, I don't think, without a faith. It would have been a much easier journey had I had it. But it was in those next 10 years that I say God sort of courted me, you know, sprinkled the things in my life, the people in my life to bring me closer to him. And it did. And 10 years later is when I sort of 10, 15 years fully gave myself to him and got to know him. And that's why I think in writing this book, I wanted to write it to the woman who was kind of where I was, you know, just letting her know, it's okay. You can be mad at him and he can take it and he loves you and that there's a choice and all of this sadness. There is a choice that of picking him and making this journey easier.
Amen. So true that sometimes we just let our circumstances overtake us. But in actuality, God is saying, I'm in your circumstances. Now find me.
Yeah. Always, 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 always.
Oh, such a beautiful thing. Well, you mentioned that you were raped and it actually went to full jury trial, which I cannot imagine that because you describe it in your book. So when people read it, I mean, you don't give great details, but you give enough that when I was reading it, that point, I was reading it at night and I kind of got a little uncomfortable because it's at night. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, your mind goes there, your imagination goes there. And so I put myself in your place. Where do you find joy in the unimaginable?
You don't. I don't think you find joy in those moments. I don't think you find them in that circumstance. But where you find joy is in everything that's coming around it, in everything that's helping you through it, in the people that are helping you through it, in the policemen and the attorneys and the, you know, in those kind of circumstances, in the people who you didn't know who came in your life, who helped you through, in the counselors and in all of the things that he gives you to help you through that journey. When you're still not picking him, he's still putting things in your life that are the joy pieces. And I don't think we're supposed to feel joy in that moment of devastating heartache. But as you look back, you will see it all around that he had you all the time. And then you'll be able to tell stories that were, I mean, even in, I remember us sitting in the ICU for Madison at the time, and my whole family was there and we were laughing. It's just how we deal with hard things. And then we were crying and then we were laughing because somebody was saying something or doing something. So we always could find laughter right next to our tears. Always. They were always hand in hand right there together. And I'm glad that I have a life like that, but also I'm glad that I know to look for that as well.
And that's so important because a lot of us are living life with blinders on. And if you're not looking for joy, you may not find those sprinkles of raindrops of joy that come down. And people just don't experience that anymore. And I think a lot of us are wanting that immediate gratification. You know, it's the microwave society that we live in. Let's come on, stick it in for a minute. Oh, I'm all better.
Right, right.
When you're experiencing a loss of a child, when you're raped, that's not something that you can microwave in a minute. You're all better.
Mm-mm. You know? No, and I think we have to acknowledge that. I think we have to give ourselves grace to have a season of sadness, but we also have to acknowledge that there is a point where I just had to say, Dawn, get out of bed, go take a shower. So it's not this massive movement of today I choose Jesus and all of this is, you know, this pain is just gone. It's a today I choose to actually get up, you know, that I'm going to take a shower today. And then it's a choice every day. And it's a choice to, for me, as silly as it sounds, in the midst of releasing a book that I've never done before, it is an on purpose morning activity. Say, I surrender this to you. I surrender this podcast to you. Let my words be your words. I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. And I think there's a peace that comes with that when you're, I don't know how to deal with this pain. I surrender this to you. I think that's, for me, that's kind of the only way to know how to do in the depths of those heartaches.
So beautiful. And I think a lot too, Dawn, is that we want this recipe that says, if you do this, 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 and this, check it off, check it off, check it off, you will equal joy. How in your life do you define joy?
To me, joy is God. God is joy. And I want to give this beautiful long answer when people ask me that, but that is legit what joy is to me, because I think you can have happiness without faith, but I don't think you can have joy without God. A true joy. You ever meet people that they radiate something and you can't put your finger on it. And that right there, that is God. And I don't know any better way to define joy than this place that I obviously don't have the words for, that God fills, you know, that is him. Joy's God, God's joy.
Well, last week, where did God show up for you in just your everyday, and where did you find joy?
Oh, that is such a good question. God shows up for me constantly. For me, I'm one of those people that I'm in a constant conversation with him. So it isn't my... I think some people have a vision that your faith is only you on your knees in a formal prayer. And to me, my faith is in a constant conversation of seriously, why did you make me have arms that flap this much? Like, so I'm in a constant conversation with him. But mine for last week was obvious because it was the first time that Florida's out of quarantine. And one of my best friends and her three kids came, and my aunt came, and she brought her two dogs. My aunt brought her, we had eight dogs here. We had four kids. It was fantastic noise and laughter and running around and dirt and mess. And it was just, it was blissful. So he showed up in the love of people last week for me.
Oh, how beautiful. And yeah. We tend to forget those little things that add up to extraordinary moments within our life. Well, absolutely. A day came and you thought you'd be celebrating your husband's birthday. And at this time, he was deployed in the Middle East, active duty in the Navy. But it wasn't his day that you celebrated, because you had to break the news to him that you had stage 3 breast cancer.
I did. He's normally a pilot with Southwest Airlines, and he decided to go active duty for a year with the Navy, and he was in Bahrain. And he had come home for actually a 2-week visit, his middle of the year visit. And during that visit, I had found a lump, and we went to the doctor actually while he was home, and they said, no, it's cysts. You're good to go. And then I happened to have an annual girly visit, if you will. And she said, this doesn't feel right. Let's do it again. And again, those scans came back as cysts, and they said, let's biopsy this. And he had already gone back to Bahrain. And so then I had to make a phone call to him that, happy birthday, I have cancer. And it was, actually that's coming up. It was actually May 17th. So it was a terrible phone call to make. It was a terrible phone call, but he's my perfect partner, and he was a champ and handled it beautifully and said all the right things. And it was amazing.
Wow. Well, it's been coming up on 9 years, correct?
It is. Yes.
That's a long time. Looking back, 9 years looking back, what did that journey teach you personally?
Oh my word. That's a whole book. It's a whole book. I'll tell you one of the greatest lessons that came out of that. I had seen a woman post a post on Facebook, and she said, now that I have cancer, I see who my real friends are. And she was saying it as a negative kind of like, you know, I'm so angry with you guys who are not showing up. And when I read that, I just thought, absolutely not. 100% not. I am not one of those people that if you tell me you're sick, even if you're one of my greatest friends, that I am a great caretaker. It is not what my gift is. But when I did get cancer, my friends who I knew were not those kind of people, they were still my friends. We still spoke, and it was still great, and we still laughed. But the ones who swept in were the ones who God gave that caretaker gift to. And it wasn't because my friends loved me less. It was because it just wasn't their gift. And then as soon as I was well, those caretakers were gone, because God, you know, created their gifts for just a season as this. And it's not that your friends love you less. It is just that he was utilizing those with their other gifts to come and help you in those times of need and to take care of me. And it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. And I was so grateful for it. But it is not mean that somebody loves you less, because you have no idea what's going on in their life. I've been in seasons where the thought of pouring out to one more person was more than I could possibly take because of what was going on and, you know, happening to me. So it had nothing to do with them. It was just that I had no more capacity for anything else. I think we have to remember that. That was a great lesson through cancer and for me.
Such a good point, Dawn, because a lot of us do feel like that. Oh my gosh, she doesn't like me. And what is it for women? I mean, come on, women, we are the worst when it comes to that, right? We wear this badge of you hurt me a little bit too pridefully and saying that, oh, well, if you don't do this for me, then I judge you for that. And what a great reminder to all of us that, you know what, God gifts us differently on how we serve people. And, you know, just because your girlfriend doesn't show up the way you think she should doesn't mean that she doesn't love you any less.
Right. I don't have the cooking gift. I don't have that hospitality gift. I don't have that caregiver gift. And I'm old enough now that I know that. But it used to be something that I am less because I don't have those gifts, rather than, oh, look at the ones you did give me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I got these. Not everyone got these, but I got these. Thank you. And I think we look at other women for not fitting on our box of what their expectation is. And that's so wrong.
Mm, and you write about that in your book, but we're not going to go into that story because you even use some cute numbers that I love. They're going to have to pick up their own copy of Laughing Through the Ugly Cry and Finding Unstoppable Joy. Well, in your battle with breast cancer, you learn to embrace this philosophy you get to.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And we have that philosophy going on right now. But yeah, I mean, that you get to. And it was, in fact, I just wrote about it because as my husband last week was the first time he flew for over a month. He just coincidentally was on vacation during this time. So he has been home. We haven't had him going in and out, and the fear of him going out into an airport and flying a plane and just all the people he'd be around. But he just was home. So he recently just went on his first trip. And I remember the day he was gone thinking, oh, I miss him so much today. I miss him. And literally the day before, I remember looking at him across the sofa going, I hate the way you breathe right now. Why are you breathing like that? Like, I was so over it. And how quickly I forgot that I got to have that time with him, that I got to do, you get to. When I was going through cancer, it was driving Ella to school. I was too sick to drive her to school. And it used to drive me crazy, like, oh, let's go. You know, that ride to school in the morning. And the same thing is happening now, that taking my daughter to school, here we are many, many years later, the frustrations of driving her to school. And now that we can't, I miss the fact that we had that quiet time to talk. So I got to take her to school and to shift the thinking of I get to. And, you know, in cancer, it got to the extreme side of I got so sick that I didn't get to have chemo, which was the thing that I hated the most. It was the thing that made me so sick, that took my life, that took my hair, that took my fingernails, took my eyebrows, my eyelashes, everything. And I wasn't myself anymore. And then I got so sick and my white blood count got so low, they actually couldn't give me chemo. And I thought chemo was like, I get to get chemo. And so it's a big shift in thinking. And I hope that in this season, people will take just one step back and go, I get to do this right now. It may be hard, but I get to. I get this time, I get the season, and it won't be that much longer before this preciousness will be gone, I think.
Well, it is definitely a philosophy that I think a lot of us need to adopt, because whether it's exercise, eating healthy, yeah. You know, being nice to your spouse and actually really loving on him like you need to, it is a, I get to, this is something, and it's a mindset shift for sure. Well, you write in your book, and I quote, when life hurts and pain is a constant, it is difficult to find, let alone recognize joy. But without the really hard moments, the wonderful ones can't stand out so vividly.
I sound good.
You do.
Wow, go me.
I love it.
That's 100% true. And by the way, you know, I was called to write this book. I was a girl in the middle of the night, woken up in a dream. And when I look back and I hear the words, it's so evident to me that Holy Spirit was so involved, because I think I couldn't have written those words. So when you just said that, I was like, wow, that sounds great.
Read it to me again.
Like, what else did she say? Yeah, but it is true. I just had this conversation with someone yesterday, and we were talking about how that's life. You know, life is the trials, it's the ups and the downs, but without those downs, you don't get to. I actually said these words that I feel a little sorry for those who never have trials in their life, because they really can't recognize how good the good is when you don't have the bad. Right? You have to have the balance to recognize it defines what is great. If you have really bad, then the definition of what is great is really good. So I think we have to have the down to have the up.
Oh, and it is, right? In order to get the rainbow, you got to have the storm.
Amen.
It's got to be there. So very interesting. Right. Well, for the ones who have a friend going through a situation right now, a circumstance where, you know, they feel like they need to be serving them extreme pain or a tragedy, what advice would you give them on how to support their friend during this time?
Oh, this was so easy for me all the time. I remember craving and wanting people to be normal. When I was so sick that I wasn't getting out of bed, I wanted someone to climb in bed and complain about their husband. Like, somebody please be real with me, because everybody was walking on eggshells around me in all of those seasons. And I just needed someone to be real, to complain about stuff, because they were always being so lovely. And I appreciate that. And that is sweet. But bring ice cream and be real. That is my advice. And don't bring a boring ice cream. Don't just bring vanilla. Like, really step it up on some ice cream and just be real and just say, this sucks. You know, like, oh, talk to me. I craved that. And very few people, I can literally only think of one person that did that with me.
Wow. That authenticity is so important. And
so,
I know I've served a lot of people in crisis situations. And it is one of those things you're like, if I say something or if I act normal, it's like you want to be apologetic that, hey, this is going on, or you don't want to be too happy either, where, you know, something great's going on in your life. And you're like, do I really share this with her?
And I would say, first of all, I think you have to judge where you are on the thing. And if she's sitting there and crying in tears and can barely take her breath, this is not the time to go, we're having a baby, you know. I say that, but I don't know. Maybe it is just the thing she needs. You know, I think authenticity, whatever in its truest form, authenticity. Mm. Don't be anxious. Yeah.
I love it. Well, you, as you went through your journey in life, you've experienced lots of tragedies. I mean, we've only covered a few of them, but your mom experienced a life-threatening brain aneurysm. And your mm-hmm. sister, Kim, was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. Your mom survived. Your sister was called home to heaven too early. How did you take her tragedy and turn it into an incredible blessing?
Well, you hit me hard today, the way that you just said that. First, I want to say one thing that I feel like I need to say. Just because one prayer is answered and one is not, doesn't mean his love for you is less. You know, it doesn't. I will never understand why my mom was saved, my baby wasn't. My sister had stage 2 cancer, I had stage 3, and mine was worse. Why did she die? I didn't. So I just want you to know that his love for you is so constant, so pure, and so gigantic. You'll never be able to wrap your head around. We'll never understand the answers to those things until we're home. So, you know, Kim's, are you referring to Kim's rack day?
Yes, or anything of Kim's. I mean, her story is so beautiful.
You know, my sister Kim was younger than I was. And in her final year before she passed, I was stretching to do a huge goal with Mary Kay Cosmetics and break a record and do this $1 million year that had rarely been done in the company. And everyone said we couldn't do it. The team was too small. You hadn't, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all these reasons we couldn't do it. And come midterm, and my sister was elated. She's like, oh, you're going to do million. When you do it, can I come on stage? I'm so excited. Can I be there? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, can I borrow a dress? I'm like, absolutely. And so it was so fun. And in the middle of that year, I was not seeing our numbers come together. And I was strategizing on how I was going to tell my team, this, it is not going to happen. I'm looking at some stuff. It's just not there. It's not going to happen. And then on January 10th, Kim passed away unexpectedly in her sleep. And I asked my parents, actually, I could just feel her say, don't blame you not hitting a goal on me. Don't you blame me for that. And I think so many times we use the death and the loss and the tragedy of something in our lives as the excuse not to live out life in its fullest, not to live, to leave a little more mediocre because it gave us an excuse, when in fact we could do the great things and honor them in doing them versus living in the excuse of, now I'm not saying, of course, I always a little careful on saying things that, because I acknowledge that there are times that are devastating. We can't do anything. I do know that, like the loss of my child for sure. And to be quite honest, having that goal to race for, was maybe a little bit of way of escaping what was, how painful her death was at the time. But I asked my parents for their permission and they said yes. And we made this year called Kim's Million, and everything was hashtag Kim's Million. We had t-shirts, Kim's Million. Everything became about the story of her, because when I finished out that great big goal, I got to stand on a stage in front of 10,000 women telling the story of my sister. And that was my goal. And I just kept seeing that moment in my mind. And I also kept seeing the moment of, I did not want to tell my mom we didn't hit this goal. So she became the reason for this amazing success story that happened. And I decided that the goal was going to be reached because of her, and not that I didn't do it because of her. It was going to be that I did do it because of her. And then, you know, she died on the 10th of January. So every month on the 10th, I do a random act of kindness. I don't think her death is one to be, I know that some people do this and this is the day of my, you know, loved one's death. And so it becomes a day of mourning for them. And sometimes it just is. Some days it's, you know, some years it was hard for me and some years it was a celebration of her life. But I choose to go into it with, I'm celebrating. I may cry a lot that day, but I celebrate her with random acts of kindness that we do, whether it be buying coffee in Starbucks lines or just, you know, all the things. So just a random act of kindness because of her.
Oh, you know, Dawn, you just light up when you talk about her. And when I read how you told her story in your book, I shed a few tears too. I questioned also as to, Lord, why? She already lost, you know, her daughter way too soon, you know, 9 months old, and now you've taken her younger sister. You do have those questions of why, and those are earthly questions. But we've got to realize that there is a heavenly God who has all the answers, and he protects. And what a way to honor your sister's legacy every single month. And I can just tell how much she meant to you and still does mean to you.
Mm-hmm. She does. And I will say we weren't particularly close. We were very different people. So I say that because I think you can love someone so deeply and not necessarily be super close or just alike. She was my sister. So she was my, you know, she was my partner for, you know, who I thought holidays would be spent with for the rest of my life, you know, that we would have children. And I don't know. It's hard when that's taken.
Yes, very, very much so. For someone who is in that position and maybe they don't feel like they've come to terms with it, or they've got someone that is struggling now, what would you tell them as a glimpse of hope to say you're going to make it through regardless of how the circumstance ends?
First, I would say is you have full permission to do the ugliest of ugly cries and do them often if you need to. And with that, I mean, because I think you have to release those kind of things. And it's when we don't release that we stay in this place of anger and bitterness and sadness. And when you, so release that. And the second thing is take a step forward towards bettering you, being more joyful, being more filled with your faith, do something for you. So you have a choice. You can stay in this place of bitterness and anger. And I have been there, you know, like there's a point where you just have to take a step. Like you have to make a choice. And so I don't have a ton of pity when somebody makes a choice to stay in sadness, because I don't think that anyone who loses someone, that person would have ever hoped for them that they stayed in a place of anger, bitterness, sadness, depression, all of those things. And if that means that you can't get out of it and you need to go see a doctor, go see a doctor. You know, pray, be proactive. I think the choices are ours. I don't mean to sound heartless by any means, because I've definitely been in all the stuff, but there is a choice with every single thing I did that enough, now get up and live your life. You were not called, God did not call me to lay in a bed and watch Netflix, although I do it incredibly well, I might add, but I have now watched Netflix, all of Netflix. I just watched Netflix. I can just say I've watched Netflix, all of Netflix now. So no, that's not what he called us to do.
Such good wisdom there for sure. Well, what has God revealed to you in the deepest, darkest valleys?
Oh, that question. So many things.
Pick one at least.
When you say, I know. When I think of deepest, darkest valleys, actually a moment flashes through my mind. And it was a moment in my cancer journey where I was done. I mean, I was so sick and I was so tired of being tired and I was done. And I remember filling up the bathtub, getting in the bathtub and crying and just saying, please take, I cannot do this. Take me or take this, because I cannot do this one. I can remember this so well. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Take your time.
Just say, I just can't. You have to take this. And I remember, and I didn't feel it laying in the bath, but when I stood up, that I felt like, whoosh, as that water washed down off my body, so did this heaviness wash down. And I remember in that moment, just the hearing, all you had to do was call to me. Just call to me. And I think that's the lesson. And it was vivid and real in that moment but it's so often that it's not quite as dramatic as that moment was, but it's always just call to me, yell to me, scream to me, but call to me and I will be there.
Oh,
that's my lesson.
I love that. I mean, Jesus, the name, that's all you need. Just call on him and he is there. You know, whether you're in the grocery store trying to stay safe and buy your lettuce,
right,
or whether, you know, or whether you're out with the horses or playing with the kids or cooking dinner, just all you have to do is cry out to him and he is right there. So good. So good, Dawn. Well, this is kind of a weird one, but you're all the joyologist, right? And so you say by nature, you're just happy and, you know, pretty much, I'm sure you have your down days. Yeah. Are there days when you struggle to find joy?
Oh, for sure. I think that's what makes us human, right? Because then we'd be Jesus. But yeah, absolutely. And not, I wouldn't say struggle to find joy, because to me, that would mean I was struggling to find my faith. But are there days that I struggle to find happiness? Yes. And then I had a whole lot of them in this journey of leaving a career to take this giant leap of faith and trusting him so much. It was hard to leave something where I was a big fish in a little pond, and I was successful and I had great accolades and I had free cars, and it was hard. And then to leave, and everyone thought I was crazy, absolutely crazy, to leave to write this book. And I didn't know what I was doing. I literally Googled, how do you write a book? And I cried a lot and just said, why are you, you know, my gifts are, I'm a good speaker. I'm really good at leading women. I'm good at those things. Why have you brought me into this place of being alone? And that was hard. And then to write a book that dug up every hard thing in my life, to say that I had some conversations with him would be an understatement. I mean, like, come on, you've got to be kidding here. Like, but yeah, I had, for sure, that's what makes us human. And then again and again, we have to learn, choose me, choose me, choose me, he says, you know, just come on, Dawn. And I find that when I'm struggling the most and when I'm flailing the most, I may be talking to him, but did I stop and really pray to him? No. So then when I stop and I pray and I'm in his word, then I'm like, oh, all right, some of the crazy rolls off, you know?
Well, you all will see and be able to experience Dawn's growth with God in her book as she penned to paper, Laughing Through the Ugly Cry and Finding Unstoppable Joy. Well, for those who are drowning and are just literally, they were in your position of some form or fashion, whether they've been diagnosed with something health-wise or experiencing a loss or a loss of a job, whatever that is, the loss. Maybe they're changing something. It could be a relation issue. What encouragement can you give them?
You know, when you say things like that, the first thing I think is that I want to hug some, you know, those people, I just like, I hear you. I see you. I get you. I love you. I wish there was a way we could send hugs, you know, truly just like, oh. And So first I do want to say those things. Like, there are so many people. I think we're getting in a world now where we're sharing things more. I think one of the great gifts that's coming out of what's going on now is we're sharing our feelings more, and because we're kind of, you know, locked up. And this is great. God's great invitation to even come to him a little bit more. But I almost feel like sometimes it sounds trite to just say, go back to your faith, go back to your faith, go back to your faith. When you feel like God has forsaken you, maybe, you know, that you are angry, you are sad. And I want to tell you, he can take the fight. He can take you being mad at him. And it is okay to yell. It is okay to not understand it fully. But if you will, again, surrender and lay in him, that is my best advice for you. That just go to him. Go to the feet of Jesus.
So good. So good. All right. So I know there's a lot in your book, and I want to highlight the very end of your book after you read all the chapters. I can't remember, 14 chapters, 13 chapters?
14 chapters, 14. Plus an intro and an epilogue.
Right. So, and you're like, Andy, don't forget the acknowledgments, girl.
Yeah, and the acknowledgments and the about the author.
Exactly. That's a lot of writing. But in there, though, you have at the end questions just thought-provoking things for each chapter. And I love that. And so people who are looking for, where do I find joy in this kind of a circumstance? Or how can I begin to peel back the layers? You give that opportunity with just a few sentences for each chapter. And I think that's beautiful. And you guys will, I promise you, be able to read that when you pick up your own copy of Laughing Through the Ugly Cry and Finding Unstoppable Joy. Well, one thing that we're not going to go in great detail about, but you talk in your book and you got permission from your husband to share, but you did specifically say it's his story to share in his battle with alcoholism. Where has God stretched you in being able to give to others in need?
In that particular story, you mean? That was, I will tell you that I wrote the chapter. I gave it to him. He said, I will think about this, but I don't think so. And then a friend of mine read it, and she was actually a newer friend. I don't even know why she would have read. I don't remember what, well, I know why now, but she actually read it. And she came back to me and left me this message in tears saying, thank you for writing that. That is my life right now. I needed so desperately to hear this. And she was crying so hard. And I let him hear it. And he said, I guess we can help people with this. And that's when he gave me the permission to tell the story about his drinking. And we were very lucky because it wasn't to the depths that I think that it could have gone for sure. I mean, I wasn't out the door yet. He hadn't ruined his life. He wasn't drinking on the job yet. There were a lot of things that it could have been so much worse. And we were very lucky, but we had many years of some nasty struggles. But the greatest thing that that has given us is the amount of people that we've been able to help now, or I hope bless with our story on this, because it's such a common story that I don't think a lot of us are talking about until it's maybe to an extreme level. But this was destroying a marriage, and I will say this: I never believed. And I'm embarrassed to say that I never thought God could heal this. I never thought we could come back from where we were to be the marriage we are today. Never in a million years that could God heal this, which is so horrible to have a faith that is strong. But there's a piece in me that just thought, this is so bad. Yeah, we're not going to be able to heal this. And he did. Like, not only healed it, but it the best marriage we've ever had today.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps. God knows how to do miraculous things, but we have to be willing to give it to him. Amen. And relinquish our control. Because women, we like control. And it's not up. I mean, men like control too. But when you think about us as nurturers, we control right. The children, right? We keep them. You control the horses. You're wrangling yeah. them in, right? Well, sometimes we feel like we've got a herd of cattle ourselves with the children, everything that we do in our right. lives. And we've got to relinquish that and give it all to God and let him be fully in control. Well, I know when people pick up this book, Dawn, they're going to be just drawn in. I know I was. What do you hope your readers will gain?
Oh, I hope they gain a lot of things. I hope it's not just one thing. I hope it's a perspective. I hope it's that I see them. I hear you. I hope it's a hug. I hope it's grace for other people. I hope it's empowerment for women chasing goals. I hope it's enlightenment on friendships. I hope it maybe makes you want to exercise a little more. But there's so much of my hope in this little book that it's this baby I so desperately want to give out to every person, every woman I know. Please read this. Please read this. I love you. Please read this. Please read this. And that sounds awfully weird when you're the author, because there's this part of you that the ego piece is like reeling your ego. And it isn't the ego. It truly is just, this is my gift to you. I love you. This is my gift to you.
Well, it truly is a gift. And it's a different way and a different perspective. You're flipping the side of saying, you know what? You can let your circumstances be your excuse. You can wallow in it all you want, or you can choose to find the unstoppable joy. And you truly have portrayed that in every single word, in every chapter that you wrote in Laughing Through the Ugly Cry, for sure. Well, I know, Dawn, people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
You can find me at dawnbarton.com. And on Instagram and Facebook, I'm awfully active on Instagram. And Instagram and Facebook at Dawn R. Barton. So it's the same for both of them. But I would love to connect with you. Shoot me a message. I would love it.
Well, we will have all that information in the show notes for you so you can readily access Dawn so she can get back with you and tell you how to find unstoppable joy. Well, before I let you go, Dawn, there's one last question I have for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Joy. It really has. You would think that a story that is a journey of hardships would be a story of hardships, but it's a story of continual faith and joy.
Well, I appreciate you so much for truly taking the time to sit down and pen your journey so far to paper so we can learn from you and grow in our faith with Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been so fun. I feel like this is one of the great gifts is that you feel like you have a new friend. So thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.